Greetings in the worthy name of Jesus this morning. Revelations, he says, that is the only one that is worthy of praise, honor, to receive power and riches, wisdom, strength, and honor and glory and blessing. And so this morning we're here to do that. To reflect, possibly reflect back on a couple days gone by since we were gathered like this. The last, and we recognize the things that God has done for us. This morning I was just thinking, are you glad that God isn't contained in a box? He's not very limited. You ever thought about it? If he decided to be with Brother Tim in Mexico, and he couldn't be here with us this morning. Now, that's sobering to me, because you think about it, yesterday, as I prayed before I was studying that his spirit would be there, his spirit was also with those that are sick and hurting. And his spirit was with you all that asked him to lead you through the day. So this morning, I just want to just take our minds and blow them out of proportion, I guess. Just let's let our minds open to where God is not a God that is limited. He is not contained. He is different than your brothers and sisters. And that is probably what's reflecting my message this morning, the fear of the Lord. It's a very simple title, Fear of the Lord. I didn't realize that it was getting that close to our Sunday school lesson as we discussed. All the ones that were here in adult class, we talked about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And this is a forerunner of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. I was also thinking of, there was a number of thoughts that were shared that are probably going to be related to each other as we discussed it this morning. But the other reason why I feel this message is so important is we sang the song, Jesus is Coming Back. For some of us, I don't know if we'll make it out of this room. For others, it might be tomorrow. We don't know when Jesus is going to say, or when God says it's over. But there's also a day coming when he's going to say it is over for the whole world. He will come in his glory and his fullness. The fear of the Lord. Job 28 is a verse. Job understood this here. This understanding had a glimpse of the fear of the Lord. He says in Job 28:28, he says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. We also go back to a verse that is very well known to us in James 1:5. He says, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of God, and he doesn't retain anything from people that ask of him in a sincere heart. But it's interesting that Job quoted a verse that comes out of Deuteronomy 4:6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. It is very clear in my mind that this was a group of people that was different. They were not going with the flow. They were not going. They didn't dress like the flow. Their language was different, and even their facial expression was different than the rest of the group that was around them. And that is why their title was, if they walked in this, that they were going to be called a wise and understanding people. Now, this message comes from a conversation that I had with an individual, and we were talking about church guidelines and rules. Now, if you don't have to go real far to bring up a really big, maybe an argumental or a debating conversation on this issue. And we've continued to talk, and as we continued to talk, it became very clear that this individual was a little on a different page than I was. And there's nothing wrong with that, if it is done in a godly manner. But one of the things I recognized really quickly is that the question was, is organized church and leadership conservative dress, accountability, is that really necessary? Sadly, his conclusion was that, take your technology for instance, it's not about filters and accountability that does anything for anybody. It is simply the fear of God. I wrestled with that for quite a while, because it's true that you will not get to heaven by guidelines and rules. You won't get to heaven that way. You neither will you get to heaven by knowledge of the scripture, like we had heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning. You can know the scripture from one end to the other, word for word, definition for definition, and never get to see God on his throne. You'll get to meet him at the judgment bar, but not in his glory. So you do need the fear of God, but is that all? Is that where this, is there a period at the end of that? I would like to turn to Proverbs 1. And I'm taking a lot of this message out of the Old Testament because I was blessed to recognize that there is a quite a large portion of the Old Testament that we rely on for the day's part of the day's fear of the Lord. And the proverb writer, he writes some very profound statements and some very clear outlines of the fear of the Lord. I'd like to read a few verses out of Proverbs 1. Because as I thought about this, that's all we need. So all I need to say is to my children coming up is all you need is the fear of the Lord. Forget this accountability. You might as well forget the church, the decrees for to keep. Just put them away. Just get the fear of the Lord. That's it. Well, I can't rest in that. Personally, I cannot rest in that. I am not promoting that we have a decrees for to keep that is equal to the Bible either. Okay? You get what I'm saying. But there is some practical outworkings that I am blessed that there has been people before me that have put a lot of thought, a lot of Bible study into it to come up with what we have. And I really appreciate it. Proverbs 1, starting in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorner delighteth in their scorning, and the fool hateth knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call unto me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me, for they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own devices. I want to just break off from there. I think there is a direct link to what we're talking about, the fear of the Lord and bringing it down into the understanding, the acknowledgement of God. Knowledge and or understanding of the fear of the Lord will never bring us into the will of God or into heaven. Now, again, I don't want to split hairs here, but wisdom and knowledge is two different words, and it has two complete different actions behind it. Understanding and knowledge is exactly what Proverbs is talking about. This kind of people, and he says at the end of time, they will be destroyed. So that's not the answer to eternal life. But there's something that's completely missing, and it's the word wisdom. Wisdom has a meaning of that I have. Now I know what God is expecting me. Now I will do it. Wisdom is actually an action word. I found that very interesting. He is saying all this understanding and knowledge that you have of me was never put into action. You missed the whole wisdom part. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is using the knowledge and the understanding of what I have known and putting it into everyday living. The God of heaven is not an equal. His word is not to be changed or appealed to. He is not a God that wants to, changed or appeased. He is not a God that is appeased. He is a God that is reverent. He is not a God to be appeased. He is a God to be worshipped. He is not a God that is appeased. He is a God to be honored. He is not appeased, but he is to be obeyed. See, the wisdom of God is understanding who he is, and he is not changing. His law has been written in heaven when he first established it. That'll not change. And he says, I'm not going to bend or sway because of you don't put your understanding into action. Rather, he brings it back. If my wisdom and understanding has not brought action, the payment is still the same, like the proverb writers say. At the end, God is going to turn his face away from us. He says, he'll actually laugh at those that have known the word in depth and have never put it into practice. Psalms says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding hath all they that do his commandments. It was interesting that the fear of the Lord is taught by you and I to the next generation. The fear of the Lord is not something that just comes down and all of a sudden becomes a part of an individual's life without teaching. You and I have a tremendous responsibility. But I also was very blessed and also challenged with the thing of what it takes. You realize that you can have the knowledge and the understanding of the scripture and never pass the wisdom on to the next generation. He says that is something that needs to be placed in your life before you can ever pass it on. And it's also interesting that God used man to tell his people what his law and wisdom was. He used Moses. He used Samuel. He used all the judges. He used some of the kings. He comes all the way up and he chooses, in the new dispensation, he chooses 12 people, 12 men that were, some of them were very unlearned. And he uses them to portray or to bring the knowledge out of the word and then put wisdom into place and make it have action. So, is all that you need the fear of the Lord? That is truth, but it goes way beyond that. Friends, I'm here to say this morning that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But wisdom is when you put that what you know into action and you teach the next generation the importance of guidelines and rules to follow. Fathers, we do it in our home. Mothers, we do it in our home. Well, you should be doing it in your homes. Especially school teachers, you do it at school. Preachers, we must do it in church. We must. If it is anything that helps people bring them closer to the knowledge of the scripture, don't throw it out. Now, I will caution, if it's something that is distracting from what God really wants, then we need to be very seriously looking at what we're trying to teach our people. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 5, he says, let's just turn to Deuteronomy. I'd like to read a few verses out of that, where he talks about the statutes and judgments that he gave to Moses. This is Moses going up into the mount, and God gives him this. Deuteronomy 4, verses 6. Verse 5 and 6. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do as in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a wise nation, for this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I'd like to drop down to the question is, what were these laws and statutes then? He also says these were the Ten Commandments that were given. So wisdom is the Ten Commandments. God's law and statute is understanding, that is being able to read and hear the Ten Commandments. Putting the Ten Commandments into action today is wisdom. Now you go back and you ask, what was James really talking about when he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God? What's he saying? Friends, he is simply saying, go back to the Ten Commandments, and what does the very first Ten Commandments, what was the very first commandment say? It says, thou shalt have no other gods before you. There's 10 of them in a row. Now if it's four or five, but the Ten Commandments is split. There is commandments that are directly between you and God, and then there's commandments directly between you and your brothers, you and your sisters, you and your sons, you and your daughters, your neighbors, whoever it is, they're split. So if the statutes and judgment is the wisdom from God, then statutes and judgments of God are the fear of the Lord, which is the outworking or the obvious actions of the Ten Commandments. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord, that was in Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. This is where my point comes from. This is a teaching practice that needs to be put to practice. But think about it. If Moses wouldn't have understood what God was trying to say, and if Moses wouldn't have been practicing to follow God, would he have told the Israelites what he did? He couldn't have. He could not have. So the wisdom of God was already practiced in his life, and that's how he could work it out. The other one is in Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. It is also interesting that the word humility comes up a numerous times before the fear of the Lord. And I think there's a direct key to the first commandment because of that. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 28:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. The fear of the Lord is wisdom, and now we put honor or put humility before that, and if you put humility before it, then pride isn't available. But if pride becomes available, then reverence for God is not in place. Neither is his worship, because arrogance takes pride seriously and puts it into action. A forward mouth does not obey God, neither does it give honor to him or praise, but rather it gives praise and honor to itself. A forward mouth is simply someone that is spreading somewhat of a discord and or gets people to believe something that is shaded. And we all say, well, what's that? That's a lie, right? That's a lie. That's something that brings people to deception. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So who is responsible to bring the next generation into understanding the fear of the Lord? I think we already mentioned that. There's fathers, there's mothers, there's preachers, there's teachers. We all hold this responsibility. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have place of refuge. Do you see turmoil today? Do you see chaos and dysfunction and pain in homes? Friends, I'm afraid that the wisdom of God, the knowledge is there. We have great knowledge, but the wisdom is not there. Because it says, if there is wisdom there, fathers and mothers have the strength and the understanding to put this to practice. That is wisdom, to bring into accountability a home that is, first of all, strong in confidence. And then children that have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. And that's found in Proverbs 14:27, Proverbs 15:33, and Proverbs 19:23. There is action words in every one of these. There's a fountain of life. Now that's out of salvation. We understand as a fountain of life is salvation in our souls. But it comes because we believe that instruction of the Bible is real and that wisdom needs to be applied to my life. I need to work it out in action. I do wonder. I thought about, recently I was having another conversation with another individual, and is it possible that people today get distracted? To where the understanding and knowledge of the scripture was wisdom, and it would be worked out to where it just becomes knowledge again. And I was thinking about, who do you listen to? Who do you listen preaching? Who do you listen seminars? Great, wonderful preachings. Wonderful. Oh, just so encouraging things. But their life is just a little shaded. No, I wouldn't feel comfortable going where they do and living their life and walking the streets they walk. But they were just such a blessing to me, and I'm just so inspired. What about seminars? Going to a seminar, you never go where the main speaker, where he lives his life and how he walks. But he was just such an encouragement to my life, and I was just so blessed. And on we go. What about songwriters and singers? And we listened to them, and oh, we were just so blessed and so inspired by who God is. But no, we don't want to walk where they walk. You know, that's going out there just a little too far. Friends, I believe we have traded wisdom back to understanding. We understand the scriptures and that God blesses people that follow him. But where's the wisdom? Where's the wisdom? Is the wisdom that you could instruct an individual to follow the one that you're listening to? If it's not, friends, it's not wisdom anymore. It is just simply knowledge, and we ain't got it. Be sure that you're listening to somebody that you would be okay with to let your children follow. Maybe even yourself to follow. Moses was a man that was said he was after God's own heart. He challenged the people very heavily with some heavy words. But I believe that all Israel at the core of their hearts would have said, my children may follow Moses. Can I do that? Are you doing that? Friends, if we have the fear of the Lord in a right perspective, which brings me to the first commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. Oh, I'm sorry. First one. Thou shalt not have other gods before thee. Thou shalt not make unto thee graven images. And this is taken out of Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 7. I just simply would like to ask a few questions. Has the thing that the speaker you're listening to, has he become a god to you? The singer that you're listening to, has that become a god to you? No, you would never say that, but I don't want to follow him. But I've been so inspired and so encouraged. Friends, if he's not to be followed, then don't listen to him. Have I placed something in my life I hope nobody else touches. No, I'm not worshiping it, but I spend all my life getting this. Don't wreck it. Could it be that I made a purchase? Could it be even just a simple thing of, what's in your heart? Friends, today I believe we have greater gods in our hearts than we really want to admit at times. There's something there. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to really share about it. Don't touch it. Friends, if nobody can touch it and you don't want to get rid of it, it's a god. The other temptation that is out there, and it's been an age old, it started in the garden. God said, look around. He said, you know good from evil. You are a god. That's what was said to Eve. And friends, today yet, we have people that are struggling with that thing of letting go. If I have a problem of letting go and letting the wisdom of God fill my heart to where I am doing his Ten Commandments, friends, I have gods in the way. I have things in the way that are a little higher, just not much, but just a little higher. Wait, even the smallest little god in my heart does not let Jesus in there. It doesn't have to be anything. It can be the most insignificant little thing. Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself down, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Where's my preeminence today? Where's my devotion? Where is my... Friends, when you find yourself all by yourself and it's quiet, what's on your mind? I'll just expose myself. So I'm studying and I'm asking God to guide me and to direct me. And friends, I woke up thinking about my business. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Well, friends, I am human. And God knew it. And he knew what I was studying. I believe he wanted to show me that I didn't have everything put together. That's not okay. There's a time to ask forgiveness. There's a time to ask God to take that out of my life for now. I can't handle that. I have bowed myself down to worship something that's going to stay here and burn. You follow where I'm going? We can do this in many areas. I don't think the young is exempt, neither is the old. We can have possessions that we devote everything to. We even worship it. Oh no, you would never have an idol that I would find you bowing down, kissing it, or making a profound speech to it. Never. Never. We would never do that. But friends, when you have something that has grabbed your attention and that nobody is allowed to touch it, and you can only, that's all you can think. The last time I had that conversation with you, weren't you talking about that? Well, now you're talking about it again. Is that all you think? Well, the truth is probably maybe so. All I can think is just what I'm doing in my business and how much it's making and how pressed I am. And it's got me wrapped up. Friends, my devotion is fully in my office. God says, I can't handle that. Wisdom is to where I can bring that and say, God, have mercy on me. I need to change. And he gives me the strength to obey another commandment. That's wisdom. Understanding is that God doesn't accept that. And he does not want his people to live like that. But wisdom is to get over it and do something different. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And again, I don't think we're talking with the people here that is, I hope not, that we swear by the name of God. But I would ask you, how many phrases are close? Do you understand the phrases that you use, like the bi-language that we use? There's words that we use and don't even acknowledge where they come from and what they stand for. Friends, be sure that your language is not taking the name of God in vain. The other thing I'm going to tell you,
Do you love the church here? Do you love your brothers and sisters here? Have you talked evil about them lately? If you have, there's time for repentance and confession. But that is taking God's name in vain. Think about it. If you believe that his church is here and that there's people here that are praising and walking after him, and you defile it by a word that you're saying, friends, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. His church is not to be mocked. His church is not to be brought low. His church is to be embraced and strengthened, not to be thrown down. The other one I would say is probably the worst one that we find ourselves is taking the name of the God in vain, as if you share a testimony with somebody and then you get caught. Speeding, cheating, lying. The list can go on. And you have to acknowledge that, yeah, I did wrong. That is taking the name of God in vain. A double life is one of the most horrible ways of taking God's name in vain. Because you tell you say all the right things, and you impress people by the words you speak, but your life is far from it. It's taking the name of God in vain. He is a jealous God, and he has no time for that. The last one I'd like to touch on, I know that's only covering four of the Ten Commandments. Five, this is the fifth one, is to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. I wonder if we have lost the reverence of the Sabbath because we have lost just a little percentage of the fear of the Lord. Do you ever think of that? You know, friends, the devil doesn't really care if you are 90% in the fear of the Lord. 90%, that's almost all of them. That's almost keeping all of the Ten Commandments. He doesn't care. He smiles. If you are not committed to walking 100% in the fear of the Lord, you don't have wisdom. You are serving or walking the devil's pathway. He doesn't care if you keep 9 of the Ten Commandments. If you just disregard Sunday, he is completely fine. You have no other gods before you. Well, wait a minute. If you don't keep the Sunday, you probably have other gods before you. And you probably have profaned the name of God. But not verbally. So as long as I have everything else right and you can take some of the others. I'm not a killer. But am I a killer? I'm not an adulteress, but are you an adulteress? Friends, when you take Jesus Christ out of your heart and you serve another God, you're an adulterer. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that that Jesus Christ's blood was for you and you turned and served and got married to some other whore? Friends, we disqualify ourselves from some of these because, well, we didn't do that. I didn't commit that. But friends, what happened in your spiritual life? Sunday is a day of devoted reverence and worship to God. I know there's a number of different ways that people have looked at the Sabbath and how you should keep it, how you should keep Sunday, when you should keep Sunday. And I'm not here to argue, should it be on Saturday or should it be on Sunday, that you keep your reverent worship day. But friends, there is a day that God expects you to keep him solely all day long. I do have a problem with those that do a lot of traveling on Sunday. I try not to. But I'm not going to condemn you if you travel on Sunday. But I will say this. If you're traveling on Sunday for your business on Monday, you are wrong. The scripture talks about to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. And that means to disconnect it from your activities of the next week. I have seen this. I had a friend, actually a good guy. I thought he was pretty straight. And he kept walking down this road, and he would come. He finally came to the place where he started challenging the day of Sunday. And should you or shouldn't you keep Sabbath? Well, it continued to progress into where he started trading blueprints on Sunday. And we said, well, we would never do that. But what led him to that? Seriously, friends, what led him to that is the reverence was lost somewhere. The devotion of that day was lost somewhere. The fear of the Lord became less and less. He continued to go further to where he chased his own pursuit. He would go to church, and this is sad, he would preach at his church, and then he'd go to the truck pool afterwards. My question is, that's pretty far out there, isn't it? That's way out there. But is it really? I challenge each one of us that we take serious inventory of your Sunday and how holy is it before God. Oh, it might be holy to you, but what does God call holiness? God calls holiness those things that are solely devoted to Him. Not things that impress me, but things that impress God. Friends, do you have 100% of the fear of the Lord? Are you filled with wisdom from God? Shall we pray?